This is Barry Tyker, director of the UW Oral History Project. The date is May 18th, 1990, and I'm in the Oral History Project office with Amy Kittleston. We're going to conduct an interview on her first year here at UW. Amy, where are you from?
I'm from Menominee, Wisconsin.
You went to school throughout your entire grade school and high school in Menominee?
Well, for the most part, I didn't go to a grade school in Menominee. I went to Downsville, which is 6 miles from Menominee, and it's a small little elementary school. And then I went to junior high and high school at Menominee High.
So you went from a very tiny grade school to, what size high school was it?
About 900 in the high school. And then the junior high was separate. That's, high school includes 9 through 12, mm-hmm. and then junior high is like 7 and 8.
Did you think at any disadvantage having going to such a small school at first?
Well, no, I didn't imagine. I didn't think it was small when I was there. I guess because that's the only school I had, and I didn't know what to compare it to.
Well, let me say it, put it a different way. Were you intimidated at all when you went to Menominee, to the bigger school?
I guess I was to an extent, yes, because it was, well, naturally a move up from. Well, grade school, but not really, no. People would tell you horror stories about how you're going to be intimidated going to high school, but I think I dealt with it all right.
Did you have any older sibs in high school?
I had one. She was an older, 1 year older than I.
When you went to high school, what kind of courses did you take? Pretty much the regular
Just
curriculum?
Just general, yeah, college prep courses.
Pretty much a general curriculum at the Menominee.
Yes.
What about extracurricular things?
You mean like sports and stuff?
Clubs, things like that.
Well, I was in Spanish club. I was a class officer. I was in National Honor Society. I was in sports. I played volleyball, basketball, and well, I didn't play basketball my senior year, but I played it freshman, sophomore, and junior, and also played softball. And in volleyball, we were the regional champs. It was a first. Not a first, but since 10 years ago thing. And
What about, you said that you were in college prep classes. Was there sort of a tracking system where there was a...
Well, not really. There was just, you had like a lot of required courses. Like we had to take like economics was required and an English composition class was required. And... Well, I took like math and sciences, like chemistry, biology, and stuff like that.
When you started in high school, or after junior high, that would have been what grade?
Ninth.
When you started in ninth grade, let me put it a different way, when did you start thinking that you might go, when did college start entering into your consciousness?
Well, that's college, I guess. How I grew up at home was my father didn't go to college. They didn't, but she always encouraged us to go to college. So she's been saying this ever since like I can remember, I guess. And it was just something that I assumed I would do when I reached the age, you know, after high school. And so it was just kind of almost seemed to flow in the...
So this wasn't a decision you sat down and made. It was a
not
sort of
really
an assumed decision.
Kind of an inherent thing. I don't know. Yeah. So, but I knew. I mean, I did. I naturally had to make the decision, so I did decide that I was going to go.
What about? Now we have choice of college. Was there anything assumed about that, or tell me the selection process?
No, I did it all basically on my own. I just. Like my junior year, I think, is when I started looking at colleges and just going into the guidance office and talking to the counselors or looking or getting things in the mail was, you know, one of the main things you get people sending you things in the mail. I must have got like 100 of them or something. And so I just kind of weeded those out and picked out the ones that I wanted to go to. And I didn't want to go far away, really. So,
which ones did you select in your preliminary process?
Well, there were quite a few. I only applied to 4, Can I tell you the ones I applied to?
Yeah, tell me those.
Okay. The University of Minnesota in St. Paul, St. Norbert College in Green Bay, Marquette University, and Madison. And I was accepted at all of them, so I just had, it was a matter of choosing where I wanted to go. And
now, you didn't consider any Stoddard or Eau Claire or any of those?
No, spaces. No, I didn't.
Why did you exclude those? Why did you select only Madison from among the state?
Well, because Madison has a better reputation for one thing, and I wanted to go to a reputable school, I guess. And so I was just looking for something of a higher quality than, say, well, I'm not downgrading like Stoddard or Eau Claire. I'm sure they're good schools, but it just, I wanted the different life that I'd heard about in Madison, I guess. So,
is there anyone? You said you heard about it. Who did you hear about like UW from? Anyone?
Well, actually, the first time I probably ever heard of it was a cousin of mine that came to UW. She came here probably my freshman year. She was a freshman here or something, and so I heard about it, and that was the first, and then. And then, I guess, people, I don't know, can we stop?
Did your guidance counselor talk to you about the process at all?
Oh, about applying to school?
Did he or she influence your decision in any way?
I don't think so, not really. I mean, she, you know, would say good things about it, but I made the decision all on my own. I don't know.
Okay. So, time comes, you apply to Madison, you did your boards and all that stuff, SAT, what do you take now?
SATs.
SATs. And your scores were acceptable and all.
Mm-hmm.
And you had no problem getting into Madison at all?
No.
Okay, now we get to a tour.
No, wait. I took ACTs, not SATs.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I get all those.
I'm sorry. I know. I do too. I took it twice. I took it once junior year and then once summer.
Now, the summer before your trip, you're coming here last summer.
Yeah.
Did you do anything in that time? Did you attend any orientation sessions or anything like that?
Not at Madison. I visited St. Norbert College because that was one of my other choices, but that was just completely different than Madison. It's small, private school, you know, small is probably the key word there. But I hadn't visited Madison before. The first time I came to Madison was for the SOAR program.
And when was the SOAR program? And what is this? What is the start off? Let's talk about SOAR program. What is the SOAR program?
Okay, the SOAR is an acronym for Summer Orientation and Advising for Registration. And they encourage you, everyone, to attend this one time during the summer. It's like a two-day program, and you come. And it's basically, okay, we came here and we went to Union South where they had little programs. And they talk to you about the main thing was to tell you how to register and how to go about like the curriculum to select, and they had advisors there that, you know, suggested what you should take and stuff like that. And so you had it mainly like planned out there before, and we didn't register till like maybe a month later, so you had time to consider it, but they gave you a guideline that they thought would be best for you.
And you met with an advisor?
Well, it wasn't a one-to-one thing. They met with like one advisor for like 10 people who were interested in like the same kind of things.
So were people from all over the state? Was it basically state students?
From all over, okay. I guess. You know, anyone coming. There were many different SOARD weekends throughout the summer. And so, you know.
Where'd you stay?
We stayed in a motel. They offered you dorms that you could stay in just if you wanted to get acquainted with them. But I was with my mother, and she didn't want to, quite frankly, hang out in the dorms for a night. So we got a motel room. Another purpose of it is to orient you with the campus and go around, walk around, show you buildings and stuff if you hadn't done that like one time on your own. And
was your mother involved in any of this, like the walking around
they,
the campus?
They had certain programs for the parents, so they would like separate you at times. They'd have certain programs where just the parents attended. So they would talk to them about, I don't know exactly what they talked to the parents about, but, and then they had the students in like another section, and then sometimes with parents and students would be together. And it was just, you know, kind of a way to get your parents involved also and let them know what's going on, as well as for the student. Yeah.
Did you find it helpful, well-run and helpful?
It was, because it was actually my first time, you know. I mean, I would not have wanted to come here just the first day, you know, of classes or for even welcome week and not know what's going on. And so it was good in that respect. And yes, I think it was
good. How did
your
mom feel about it?
She thought it was good as well. She was glad to find out about some of the things, you know. Whereas if she wouldn't have come, she wouldn't have known that much detail about things and whatever. So, yeah.
This wasn't that long ago now. You said you'd never been to Madison before. What were your first impressions as you saw this campus?
Oh, big. big was definitely my first impression, and it's also the one I'm walking out of here with as just, you know, a lasting impression. I don't think I've ever gotten used to the size of it, you know. Walking the first day and you're overwhelmed, and from every day on it just ceases to amaze me. Like, especially like the first day of classes, you're like crossing the street was one of the things that sticks out of my mind. It should be, instead of one little crosswalk at one little intersection, there should be a line at this end of campus and a line at this end of campus, because students just go across the street anywhere, so it doesn't matter. You know, they don't obey those little white lines, but just masses of people across, like in groups crossing the street. It's amazing. And also the buildings. I was very fascinated by the buildings and just their structure and their antiquity almost. And Bascom Hill, or Bascom Hall, just seemed to be this mother edifice over the entire campus with the hill surrounding arms almost. And oh, we're getting symbolic here now. And what else impressed me?
Did you feel afterwards a sense of excitement while coming here?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, now we're moving up toward the start of the semester, and you have to register. You said you registered a month later.
Yeah.
UW initiated a brand new registration process. We're holding this interview in the Armory, the Red Gym. And for many, many years, you would have had to stand in line outside the Red Gym and register in the room right next to where we are, right here.
Oh.
But we had something else happen. Why don't you tell us the new type of registration
that you're... The new type of registration that they started this year is called Touch Tone Registration. And it involves registering over the telephone. And you have to have a touch tone. And you just call up. Everything is on a recording. They have it all planned out, figured out, so you don't, you know, overload or take classes that you're not eligible for. Like, they know if you're a freshman or senior. And so you just punch in the number of your courses, and it's very frustrating, though. It seems like it would be, you know, a much better way. And it probably is, you know, much more efficient. But I spent an hour on the telephone. Because classes, when you're a freshman, you don't get, you know, first choice in anything, hardly. And so, like, a lot of the classes that I really wanted were filled up. And so they encourage you. They told us this at SOAR that you should have, like, three or four different, you know, plans of scheduling or whatever. And I didn't really believe them then. So I had, like, two just choice schedules for me. And so I did those, and I don't think I got any of them. And so I had to, like, you know, hang up, and I called back like 20 times. But I guess I wouldn't know to compare, but I'm sure it's better than, you know, standing in classes or whatever. But so technology.
So you managed to do it. Did you feel a little at a disadvantage because you really didn't know what a lot of the courses were?
Kind of, but they give you a book at SOAR that explains all of them.
So you really have to be ready when you get on that phone.
You do, yeah.
Or else you're going to have to hang up and go
right.
Start all over.
And I think they give you a limit, like 32 calls or something.
No,
I didn't, because I don't remember how many I used. But.
So if you start registering, let's say you get into two classes and then you just can't get into the third one, can you hang up and then start from where you left off?
Yeah, they give you a code to like save it, like okay. Star 9.
Do you ever talk to anybody on it, or do you just do the
No, code? It's all recording.
It's all recording.
Mm-hmm. And they have it all figured out. It's actually very amazing how they have it all figured out, you know? So, yeah.
I didn't know how that worked.
Yeah.
You're all set. The courses are all set. You're coming to school. Your mom drove you here, I assume?
Yes.
Why did you decide to live in a dorm?
I definitely didn't have any question about it. I was going to live in the dorms because I wasn't familiar with campus. I didn't know where else I would live, and it would be a good opportunity to meet people and just, you know, it's gives you a sense of security just being, you know, knowing part of being right on the campus there, and it just was very helpful, I think, to live in the dorms. You know?
Now, you mentioned before something called Welcome Week. Tell me about that. I'm not familiar.
That's just a week before classes actually start that they encourage mostly freshmen come to that, I think, because sophomores and juniors and seniors have already been here, so they don't need to get oriented with the campus. So they encourage freshmen to come a week early, and you can move into the dorms then, and they just have little programs. It's actually kind of an extension of SOAR, I think is what it is. And they have programs for you to go to just to get familiar with the campus, and that's basically
it's kinds of things, any advice type things,
yeah, they had little stuff? I can't remember any that I attended that
any,
week
any mandatory
I don't believe so, no. Yeah. No, it was all strictly voluntary, and so it's
and
just
that was helpful also in terms of getting
yeah clean. So you get to spend a little time with your campus before you jump right into classes. And
okay, now classes start. Now we have someone who went to a very small elementary school, a larger, a nice-sized high school, and now you're going to a very large, the largest country university.
Grandiose.
How was it at first? How did you feel those first couple weeks here at the university?
I felt like a face in the crowd. I felt intimidated. I felt like I didn't know if I was ever going to fit in here, you know, if you get used to everything. And the people are very intimidating as well. I found that one thing. But I guess you learn to adjust to it. And the class sizes were amazing.
Just talk about that for a minute.
Class sizes were incredible. I had a music and performance class, and this was my first semester. And that was in a music hall, so naturally that was big. There's, I don't know, probably over like 500 people in the class. And then this last semester I had a class, a lecture that was like over 500 people, and that was by far just the biggest class ever. And and that was kind of, you know, weird to be in.
Big. Let's talk about the class size in terms of learning for you. Did you like those large classes?
Well, see, the really, really large ones like that. Well, although my 500 one didn't have sections, but most of them had sections along with the lectures, and that broke the class down into like groups of 15 to 20 people. And so that was better. You go to those like once a week, whereas you go to lecture like three times a week. And then you get a chance to discuss the material, and it brings it, you know, a little.
Was it TA in charge?
Yeah, the TA.
Oh,
good. Good. I didn't have much. The TAs are the only people that I had contact with. I didn't have contact with any of my professors.
Did you feel like you could go see those TAs in their offices?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They made themselves very available and made you feel welcome and encouraged you to come in.
Did you do that yourself?
I did just a couple of times I don't remember what, but I always knew I could, and they're very easy to get a hold of, but yeah.
So, list the classes you took this semester.
This semester I had a Spanish class, English literature, sociology course, geology course and an ILS course.
Were those were not all your first choices when you signed up?
Not really, but actually it worked out okay this way, because what my goal this year was kind of just to fill requirements, because I don't have a major in mind or anything, so I was just taking general courses, and so it all worked out because they all fit into categories that I wanted them to, although they may not have been the first, you know, biological science course that I wanted. But
what about ILS? Did you have any idea what that meant?
I had some introduction to the ILS program at SOAR.
Oh, you did.
They had a little ILS group meeting, and so I was interested in it then, and it wasn't one of my first choices when I signed up first semester, but it turns out that it was open, and so I took it. And it turned out to be one of my favorite classes, and one that I'm gonna try to get into more ILS courses, you know. And so, and when you're in it one time, like I got in first semester, you sign up this thing in class that puts you on a priority list,
okay,
so that if you wanna take it in succeeding semesters, you're more likely to get in it than an entering freshman or someone who's never been in it before.
What was it about the ILS class that appealed to you?
It was a different way of going about teaching the material. It was included a broader base of materials, so that you weren't just studying one specialized thing. You got like a little bit of everything, and that they all related and made it. The ILS courses were classes that teach you how to go about thinking about things rather than, you know, specific things. And it seemed like it would just be very helpful, and they also said helpful in like all of your other classes, and just how, you know.
So it was more or less an interdisciplinary approach.
Yeah.
Any of your other classes that you found particularly appealing or not appealing?
I learned to like all of my classes, though they weren't my first choices, and I think that has something to say about the quality of the education at Madison, where every course that you take, I think, can turn out to be beneficial to you, you know, even if it's not one that you originally wanted. Like my geology and my sociology were not a couple of my first choices, but I learned a lot of useful information, and I really enjoyed it. And I like Spanish. You just naturally enjoy the language, so I enjoyed that class. And English. English was probably one of the classes, though, that I don't want to say disappointed in, because I wasn't really disappointed, but it seemed like just an English lecture with many people, and there's just one person standing in the room telling you about the book. Seems a little... I would rather be in small English classes like every... I mean, we had section meeting, but I'd rather have small English classes every time. That was the only thing.
Maybe
but
there's something about English that would be... You would want smaller classes.
Yeah, just because you need a more
discussion.
Right.
Exchange.
I don't know. But, it was good reading selection.
How now? You've just finished your second set of examinations, so we're going a little bit ahead here because I have a lot of other ground I want to cover. But let's jump to your exam since we're on that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a typical exam. The format, time limitation, just the whole spiel.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I can generalize it in one little statement, because you have different forms of tests. You have some just objective, like multiple choice for some of them, and some of them are just completely essay, where that's the only thing you're graded on for the whole semester is like your exams, whereas some of the courses you have work, like Spanish, you have like daily work. And for ILS, you get the questions ahead of time so that you can plan out what you're going to say, and you go in with an outline and take your exam. And others are just impromptu essays, mm-hmm. where you get questions in class, and most of them are allotted 2 hours. It takes about 2 hours to take an exam.
Do they still have the blue books?
Oh yeah, blue books. You're right here. Yeah, essays and blue books.
I'm simply asking for your opinion on this. What kind of exam do you prefer?
Essay.
Why?
Because I think it incorporates a lot more of what you've learned and how you're digesting the material that you're learning in it. And it's not as, oh, I don't know how to say this. The multiple choice exams are just seem too, I don't like them. They're more difficult almost. But the essay exams are more challenging. That sounds kind of contradictory.
Which do you think best measures your knowledge of the course?
I would say the essay does. The objectives would, see, I'm vacillating back. But the objective test, you know, the knowledge that you learn as well, but it wants to know specific things that you've learned and stuff, and the essay just kind of overall of what you've learned. I don't know.
Are objective tests objective?
What do you mean by that?
You hear this term. The tests were created, I assume, so that you could really be totally fair and really just measure these segments of knowledge.
Yeah.
Are they like that, or are they set up so that they kind of fool you sometimes?
I think they're set up to trick us. They just want to make sure that you know absolutely everything and you know how to apply everything. And so in that sense, I guess it's good because you have to learn everything in order to get a good grade on an objective exam. So, I don't know. I give you a very clear answer to this.
This is something that people will probably, you know, have been talking about for a while. What's the best kind of method of testing?
I think it.
I'd like you to have a chance to express your feelings now, and then when we look at this, when I review you, interview you again later on, it'll be interesting to see how your feelings have changed, if they have
maybe
changed.
I'll be a little more decisive by then.
Did you have a lot of reading homework, things like that?
Oh, yes. I've never read so much in my life. Especially a lot of my courses, since I wasn't taking any math or science, all of my courses involved reading, daily reading that you had to keep up with, and just massive amounts of reading as far as I'm concerned.
Did you feel overwhelmed, or were you able to handle it pretty well?
Sometimes I felt like it was too much, but then I'm glad that they make you, you know, read that much, because it's good.
How are you doing generally in grades? Are you doing
well? I'm doing well.
Yeah,
not as well as I've done in high school as far as GPA is concerned, but I think I tell myself this for Madison. You're doing well, Amy. So
you're satisfied with your performance at this point?
I'm fairly satisfied, but I would like to do better. I have high standards for myself, so I would like to do better.
Do you think next year, just coming back a second time, that it'll be a little easier for you?
Yes, I think it will. Definitely. One of my major problems coming here this year was time management.
Early on, what were your initial problems and how have you dealt with them over the course of the year?
Well, it all started in high school. I had just the worst study habits. I was a procrastinator. I put everything off to the last minute, just doing, you know, studying for exams the night before and doing, just putting everything off and not saying you have to do this at this time. And that's what you really have to do. You have to set a strict regimen for yourself so that you don't. And that's how I think I got behind a lot this year, and why I probably didn't achieve the high standards that I maybe wanted to, is because of time management. But I think I'm getting better at it as the time goes on, and I realize that it's a very important factor. And
how do you realize this? Have you just sort of come upon this on your own, or do you talk about it with your friends?
I think I come up with it mostly on my own. It's more of a personal thing with me, just realizing that, you know, Amy, you have to just have to do this.
Did you have some rather serious problems initially with that? Is that what the problem's about?
I think so. Yes, my very first English exam that I took here was just not good. And I was very disappointed, and it scared me. And I said, Amy, if you keep up these habits, you're going to get more of these grades, but we won't say what they were. They weren't failing, we'll say that much. But still, it just, you know, scared me into just that.
And that was enough to get you going?
Yeah, because yeah.
How'd you end up doing in that course?
Do you mean you want me to tell you my letter grade?
No, not letter grade. Just did you improve after that?
Oh, I did. I improved greatly, immensely. Yeah, I know I have, because like I had my grades figured out, and then before I go to the exam, I have them all figured out, and then I, you know, see how I have to do on the exam in order to get this particular grade. And then, so I got my grades in, you know, over Christmas break for first semester, and I had gotten the grade that I said I could get if I did well on the exam, and so therefore I'm concluding that I had done well on the exam, and so I had improved. And I'm taking an English course, you know.
Okay, we're finishing up with your study habits here. I want to change it to one other topic that is a very important topic for reasons that will become obvious. How important are grades to you and to students, your friends?
To me, they're important. And I set out to get good grades. And my friends, on the other hand, not all of them, I can't generalize, but some of my friends say, you know, Aim, your grades don't matter all that much. You know, why are you working so hard to get this good grade? You study too much, they say. And, you know, I don't know. That's the main reason why I'm here, I tell them, is to study. And so, I don't know, I guess I just have personal high standards of achieving good grades. And I want, you know, since I think that I'm at Madison, good school with a good reputation, if you do well here, it's going to benefit you later, you know, rather than just getting by. And, you know, so I don't have that attitude.
Do you think there's too much emphasis on grades generally?
I think there are. And sometimes I, you know, I think there are. And I think, well, this is probably going to contradict myself, but I think it's more important what you get out of it than the grade you get. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that. And I guess I would say that first over whatever I was saying before, getting good grades or whatever. But
what about your mom? Does she emphasize grades with you?
No, never. She's never done that.
How does she feel about how things have gone for you this year?
I think she's very proud of me. She tells me that often. And I'm glad to hear that. And I almost sense, you know, a tone of envy in her voice that I'm out here doing this. And you know, what was the question again?
It's what your mother thinks, and she gives you any talks about grades.
Oh, no, she doesn't. No, she just says, you know, do the best you can. Just says, do what you can. She's never forced anything upon me. You know, you have to achieve this, you know, da da da. She's just always behind me and says, you know, do the best you can, whatever you do is fine with me. You know, just, you know, do what you want to do. It's your thing.
And she supports you.
Oh, definitely, definitely. She's great.
We're going to turn now to some other, the other aspects of university life, which as important as the classes and the grades and everything else, there are other things happening in school that perhaps even influence a person more than the schools and the grades and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start with dorm life. You've had your first year of dorm life. You told me the other day that next year you're going to be living in a house on Mifflin Street.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But let's start out with, what dorm are you in?
I live in Witte Dorm, in Southeast Dorms.
And what floor?
Fourth floor, A Tower.
Fourth floor, A Tower.
Yes.
Tell me about, I've been told, and you can correct me here now, that lots of dorm life is, you know, floors are really the important thing. Mm-hmm. That's where you get your sort of
Yeah, and they life. Each have their own little name.
They each have their own personality, too. Yeah. At least they did back in 1925 when someone first helped it. Uh-huh. What's the personality of 4A?
4A is probably got the worst reputation of any floor in any dorm in all of campus. Not one person is returning to our floor next year. We'll just start out by saying that, and that says a lot, I think. Because normally, you know, a handful of people at least return. Mm-hmm. Nobody is returning to 4A. We just had this incredible sense of immaturity on the male wing of our floor. And it just seemed to get out of hand. In the last 2 weeks, we've had like 4 people kicked off our floor. Yeah.
That's pretty drastic action.
It is, yeah. It should have been done a long time ago as far as I'm concerned, but our house fellow wasn't a real authority figure right away.
Did she kind of grow into the position as the year went on? Or was she forced
Not
into,
really.
Into the position of growing? But did she, so she just let this stuff happen at first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now she finally had to crack down? Is that
Yeah, but even then she didn't really. Some other people on the floor went to the main, Trudy is her name, she's the main disciplinary figure. And so they wrote up complaints against these people, and then she investigates. They carry on investigations.
Now, first, let's look at this from two angles. It's a typical, It's a typical Tuesday night, in the middle of the semester, 8-9 weeks into the semester, something like that. What's happening on this floor? In the course of the night. Is the behavior real bad then, or do we have to go to a weekend before?
You should go till about 1 or 2 in the clock in the morning on a Tuesday night when you're trying to sleep. Mm-hmm. People come up and scream. I don't know. A typical night. I think it's usually on the weekends, and the first semester was bad, especially because we had fire drills. Like every day, it seemed like we had like 40 of them in the first semester, and usually there's like 2 all semester or something. And I don't know if our people on our floor, they probably didn't have anything to do with that. But one other thing they did was unscrewed all the light bulbs on our floor and threw them down the stairway, which I don't even understand that really.
Was alcohol involved in this?
Probably, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And they just did some real
stupid
things.
How old
thing.
Are you?
19.
So what's the drinking age here now?
21.
So if none of your people on your floor would have been able to legally drink, would
Well, they? No, it's not permissible.
So they go to the park on campus?
No, yeah.
Is that pretty easy to do?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's a main source of entertainment on the weekends, probably.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a little bit. What did these students do that got them kicked out?
Well, what they did is, it was a particular incident. They hung a dead rabbit on one of our guys' door handle. And that was just crude. So I think that's the main thing that set it off.
But
they're just like,
Well,
because one night we held a meeting and our house fellow said, you know, people on this floor aren't getting along. So she's like, maybe we can air our concerns. And so this one person did. He said, you know, I'm not mentioning any names, but I don't like how the guy's end is always trash. You know, there's like garbage all over everywhere. And they, I don't know what they do in the bathroom, but he had some complaints about that. And just the obnoxious behavior and stuff. And so then after that meeting, after these things were read out, the people that are doing it heard this person, and so then they were like after him for who knows what reason, but that's kind of how it all started. But
it sounds almost like it was getting kind of vicious.
It really was.
So this was not a sort of a crazy disagreement or anything like that. This was a very serious
it was, and it really, I think, made me have a bad experience in the dorms, which I don't think every floor has. I think some floors have very good experiences. But I was just disappointed in my floor, and I don't think there's a real sense of togetherness or I don't know. People just didn't seem to get along. As like, I was talking to a sophomore who lives on my floor, who also lived there last year, and she said that like the guys would come down to their end of the floor and like do things with them, and we just don't intermingle or, mm-hmm. or, you know. We had a lot of floor activities like at the beginning of the year, like we'd have picnics and cookouts and whatnot, but it didn't ever seem to develop into anything. I think it was just the different personalities on our floor, and well, I don't know, it's...
As a former teacher, there sometimes is just bad chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way you can explain it.
I don't know. Somehow I thought dorm life would be a little bit different.
Yes, I would think so. Dead rabbits on doorknobs is not exactly what
I know. I hate to walk away with something like that.
Yeah, that's too bad that you're having that.
I know. So.
Did you make any friends on your dorm?
Oh, yeah, definitely I did. Yeah.
So you had some good friends. Did the whole atmosphere up there, did that make it difficult for you to study?
I didn't study a lot in my room. I usually went either to the library, down to the pit, which is a study lounge in the basement, or the Linney lounge mm-hmm. to study, because my roommate spent a lot of time in the room. And
what do you think could be done to correct situations like that from happening in the future?
I think you just have to have a more disciplinary house fellow, because she kind of sets the expectations of the floor, you know, right away she has to come out and say this is what's expected of you, and has to, you know, I mean, you have to have a certain sense of respect for the people on the floor, and you can't just be going around disrupting during quiet hours, which start at like 10:30 nightly. And
this seemed to also just be a group that needed more discipline.
I think so, definitely.
Floor.
Yeah.
Where did you eat in dorms? In the dorm?
Oh, we went to Pops Club in Gordon Commons.
What's Pops Club?
Pops Club is the little eatery that we have right next to the dorms. It serves the southeast dorms, Ogg, Celery, and Witte. Excuse me. And Pops Club is fun. When I went in there the first time, the decoration is kind of in a time warp because it has these wild curtains, as are the curtains in our dorm rooms, mind you. And it just was like walking somewhere else, and like they have the booths, and I liked the atmosphere. It was fun. And I you know, sometimes I might say, oh, this is really weird. They should redecorate it. Came up to the 90s people. But I don't know. I think it fits. It fits it though, because it just, I don't know, it has character, and people in college like character.
Right? People in college like food too. Tell me about the food in Pops Club.
Oh, boo.
Not as charming as the atmosphere. But...
Now, it was like okay for a while, but it got very monotonous after a while. Salads and bagels. I had very many of them. I don't know. I wouldn't give it a high rating. But I don't know. I ate there a lot though, just because I can't really afford to go anywhere else, and you had your meal tickets, so.
Was this kind of cafeteria style?
Pops wasn't. Gordon's was. Like Gordon's is more of like just has tables and chairs, and like Pops has like the television on and booze, and it's more scattered, like the way people sit. And
so how do you do it at Pops? Does somebody serve you?
No, you go through a line still and everything. So yeah, that's
cafeteria in terms of like,
but cafeteria in the sense that, yeah, you go up, stay in a line.
Do you have your choice between Pops and Pounds?
Pops is open every day from like 7 to 11:30. Or 10 to 11:30, and Gordon's is only open during breakfast hour, lunch hour, and dinner hour.
Why did you go to Pops instead of Gordon's?
Well, actually, Gordon's probably had better food selection, but it wasn't open as much, so we didn't have the opportunity.
And
no, it's they're totally different. Gordon's is like modern, has, you know, modern things, and Pops isn't. I don't know why they do that.
Okay, a lot of your time was spent in dorms. Did you engage in any extracurricular activities?
No, I didn't. I didn't, because I didn't really know what I wanted to get into or what there was. I was just more concerned with getting myself, you know, used to the classes and the life of Madison, and I didn't want to take on everything at once. And so I just kind of wanted to scope things out before I jumped into anything. And so,
are you planning on doing anything next year?
I might see what's out there. I don't know exactly.
Now, I skipped something at the end of the dorm thing. Tell us about what you're going to be doing next fall.
Oh, I'm moving to a house on Mifflin Street, famous Mifflin Street that I just learned was famous this year. I'm living with 9 girls, so it's going to be crazy.
How did you get together with these? Who are these?
Well, 3 of the other roommates are from Menominee, where I'm from, so I went to high school with them, and then just people we've met throughout the year, like one of the people from Menominee, her roommate, and just like other people we meet in the dorms. So.
Did you go to the Mifflin Block Party this year?
I did, yes.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was amazing. I hadn't really heard about it. I mean, kind of heard about it, but I didn't know to the extent of what it was. We were walking down. I don't remember what street that is. We were walking. Well, it's right after you come off Dayton and then you turn in this little one. And then you go and you turn and all you see is heads on the horizon. it was just seemed like I was going to the county carnival or something. There were people. I guess. There was like a live band stage and there were people selling t-shirts and food and a lot of hippies like coming back that used to live there because it started in 1969. And so they like come back for the reunion every year. And so it's just like walking into a different, you know, different time almost as well, yeah.
Where is your house in comparison to conjunction to what was happening?
It was like kind of right at, it's on the, well, it's the second house in the corner of Bassett and Mifflin, so it's like right there.
So there was right the crowd right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to be one of those who sits up on the porch
yep.
next year.
Yeah.
Watching,
yeah.
Overlooking the
yeah.
whole thing.
It was just incredible. I couldn't believe it. But it should be exciting.
What about spectator sports? Did you go to football, basketball, anything like hockey?
Attended one volleyball game. I didn't get to go to any of the football games or hockey, though I wanted to. I really wish I would have. I mean, especially this year with the hockey becoming the champions. And also I knew one of the hockey players because a friend of mine went to school with him and I met him, so I kind of went. He didn't really play, but he was on the team.
For those of you listening, this tape 50 years from now, the UW won the NCAA hockey championship this year.
Yeah.
We have a couple of newspapers here on campus. One is the Badger Herald, one is the Daily Cardinal. Do you read the student newspapers?
I do. I tend, for the most part, to read them daily. I pick them up and read them at breakfast.
Tell me what you think of both of them.
I don't know if I know how to evaluate the difference between two newspapers, and I don't really notice a difference between them. I just, I'm sure there is, but
well.
I don't really know. I just read it to, so I can, because, well, Rangers, and just to keep up with things that are going on because I didn't have a television in my room. I never watched the news hardly, and I didn't buy any other paper, so it was just kind of keeping up with a few things. You know, it wasn't very comprehensive with everything, but
Now, you also, despite your rather busy schedule, must have had some leisure time.
Yeah.
How much did you have?
Leisure time?
Yeah.
Oh.
You busy pretty much all week?
Yeah. I think I was. I was. Yeah. I don't think I didn't have as much leisure time as I thought I was gonna have, I guess. I thought I would do, I feel like I didn't do all that much in the social scene this year. I don't feel like I got very involved in it. I was just, I don't know, too busy thinking that I had to do my studies all the time, and so I don't know. But, well, you know, sometimes I get out there.
What would you do when you got out there?
when I got out there. Oh, we went to a few, like...
Your roommates and you, your girlfriend?
I went out with my roommate a couple times during the first couple weeks of school, but then after that I met other people that I... And I don't know, we went to like a few frat parties and house parties, I guess was my first introduction to the Madison social scene.
What were those
because
like?
I didn't... They were just wall-to-wall packed people from wall-to-wall. it was just very big people. We'd go in like groups of like just a dozen or more people and walk into these houses, you know? Just like walk... I didn't really... You walk up and down the street and where's the party? You're like, oh, 421 Bassett, whatever. And then,
well, that's how you found parties.
Yeah, that's yeah. basically how we did it. But then also they like... This is really funny. They hand out invitations sometimes. I didn't know they did this, but I guess it's very common now. And like, they hand out invitations and advertise parties, mm-hmm. which I thought kind of yeah. So other than that, and this one I remember we went to. It was the Pie Lambs. I can't remember the technical name of the frat house, but. The Pie Lambs had a goldfish eating champion of the world night or something. And so we heard about this because we have a friend who belonged to the Pie Lambs and they said, come with us. And so we went there and there were two tanks of goldfish, like 400 in each tank, little goldfish. And this one little person. He was like 5'5" maybe, and he ate raw goldfish, 339 of them, and set a world record. The newspaper was there, the television was there. We watched it on the 10 o'clock news at that party. They had it on, and they showed him eating it, and it was by far the oddest experience I've had at a party ever, but I guess it's memorable, and it was, yeah.
What are student attitudes and, from your friends and from dorm form regarding alcohol?
Well, I honestly don't think anyone obeys the 21 drinking age law. I don't know anyone that would say, no, I can't drink, I'm not 21. They just, it's very... To get alcohol is very easy, and it's just something that people do, and they're not very conscious of obeying the law on it.
When you're talking about alcohol, are you talking mainly beer?
Mainly beer. That's mainly the Wisconsin alcohol mm-hmm. choice.
Is it a problem with any people you know?
I don't think so. They're just out to have a good time with it, and you know, nothing serious. It's just a release.
What about drugs?
I don't have very much experience with the drugs, nor my friends do, but they're around. Marijuana is a big one. A lot of people. I don't know about many people taking hard drugs. There was one incident though in the beginning of the year with the death of Joe Sickerman.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that his death? Should I?
Yeah, just talk about it, because these people who listen might know what you're talking about.
Okay, I can't remember if Joe is the dad's name or his name, but I think it was his name, because his dad was a newspaper reporter that wrote about it. He apparently was like his first time experimenting with LSD, and he just didn't know how to deal with it, and it was just a freak accident. He jumped out his window, apparently, and died. It was from Celery Hall, 7th floor, I guess, and it was very devastating. But the scary thing about it is I don't think it affected too many people in terms of, you know, they say, oh, you know, I'm not going to try it, because I do know people that will try it for just the first time and, you know, expect, you know, nothing like that to happen, even though it does, and there's a, you know, case in point right there. And I think it's very scary. But it doesn't go on too much, though, I'll say that I know of anyway.
What about marijuana?
That goes on a lot, I think. It's
very popular. Do people consider that much of a drug anymore?
I don't think so, honestly, to tell you the truth. It's, it's like a cigarette. As far as, you know, so, I don't know.
One other topic is sex, and I want to talk about it. I don't want, obviously, get personal or anything like that, but we're in a rather serious time period in history right now, when AIDS is still very prevalent. Are people, to your knowledge, men and women, probably just the women, you know, are people really aware of that? Do they talk about it? Do you think people are taking precautions to make sure that that is...
I think it's definitely very, very much on people's minds today. And they really, you know, they want to make you aware of it on campus a lot. They're always giving us little pamphlets and, you know, stuff like this. And they have seminars and everything. And I think people are, you know, conscious of AIDS, definitely, and frightened by it. And
I've heard some people, some reports that have come out recently saying that young people are just not paying much attention to it.
Yeah, that
and,
might be.
And of course, this is a different situation here. This is a university,
yeah,
things like that. So that may not be what they're talking. But you, what you're telling me is that people are aware of this.
I would think so.
They are talking about it, at least.
I pay attention to those little pamphlets that come around. Maybe I'm a rare case. I don't know, but I think if they're not, people should be aware of it, very aware and conscious, and they should be a little more.
Okay, we have next section we're going to deal with is called student attitudes. And there's been a lot said and discussed the last few years about blacks on campus and other minorities. What has been your impression of the racial situation here in Madison, particularly on campus?
My impression is that there's not all that many, well, blacks for one instance of an example of minority, but there are the minorities on the campus that I perceive. They do make a point of, you know, making themselves known and making themselves, you know, as equal. And I guess I personally, I don't think it's a very big problem. Mm-hmm. I think that the student body is pretty aware of being considerate of minority groups and not excluding them.
Have you ever witnessed any examples, either in the classroom or in your dorm or whatever, on the streets, of discrimination?
Well, I don't think I've ever witnessed an example, but do you want me to talk about the ROTC thing with the...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Shalala's not signing a disclaimer in the ROTC policies. And so
group... The policy, just for people listening, is that students here want ROTC off campus because they don't allow gay people, homosexuals into ROTC. Right. The chancellor has agreed they shouldn't be in, but instead of banning ROTC, she wants a disclaimer put on all things involving ROTC, saying that the university does not support this policy.
Go ahead. And so one incident is there was a group of students that were protesting this, and so they went to Bascom, that's where Shalala's office is, right? Yeah, and they had protests there, and then they, this was like a couple, lasted for a couple days, I think, and then they went to Van Hise where, Shaw's office is.
The president
of the university system. And they were there for like a night, and then police action came in, and they were brutal, I guess. They beat up students and sent one to the hospital, and they removed them by force because they wouldn't leave, although the students were, they weren't, when the police came, they weren't resisting. I guess they were resisting, and that's why they were forced, but that was one incident that was, I don't know how big of a news issue it was around, state or the nation, but I'm assuming it probably was because it seemed to be very...
Well, it's happening on a lot of campuses. Yeah. What was your feeling toward, first of all, with the policy of ROTC and what's happening and how the chancellor handled it?
I don't know if I know that much about it, but I think that that it would probably be a good thing if it was. I think it should be off campus, probably, because just it doesn't. I don't know that much about it, but from what I see of it, I feel like I'm only seeing the surface of it. But it seems like it is very discriminatory, and it's off. Okay, it's off Harvard campus now, mm-hmm. and so I don't see why it can't. It shouldn't be. If the student body wants it off, I think it probably should be off. And
we're going to stop. This is Barry Tacker, UW Oral History Project, continuing the discussion with Amy Peterson. So we talked about the attitude toward blacks and gays on campus. The other group that's had a lot of attention focused on the last couple of years has been women mm-hmm. on campus. You're a woman. How do you feel? Do you feel that you have been discriminated against in any way?
Not at all, no, not at all. I think everyone is very equal around here, and there's a sense of women, men, doesn't matter, you're just all students here together. And no, I've never even once felt anything like that at all, anywhere on campus. Or
do you feel there's one of the big issues is the danger issue? Rape and things like that. Do you ever feel concerned about those issues when you're walking around campus?
Yeah, I did at first, especially coming to a bigger, town than my hometown and bigger campus. And so I was concerned about it, but they make sure they have like the women transit system, which will pick up women late at night, just free. A car goes to pick them up and transports them anywhere they need to go at night, and that's a free service. So that's one thing. So women have that safety. And they have a thing where, I don't remember what it's called, but you call the service and they'll come in like a couple of people, or even, I don't think it necessarily men or women, but whatever. A couple of people go to where you are and they will walk you home. Like if you're at the library, and you live like at Whitty or something, if I was at the library some night late, I could call this and they would come and walk me to my dorm. And so that's a good thing, and that makes you feel safe. But I don't go places by myself at night just because I'm not used to the big city. This isn't the biggest city you can live in, but it is big from what I'm compared to. And so,
but you don't feel that constant danger?
No, not really.
Have
I think
you had
it's... No, I was just going to say that I think it's not a real big problem here. I haven't heard any cases.
Have you had any orientations, orientation sessions from being a student or anything on this issue during your stay here?
No, not while I was here. I know there's some offered, because I remember getting little pamphlets in our mailbox at the dorms that, say, come to this, but I didn't attend to them. They talked about it a little at SOAR, too. They addressed it a little bit about safety and women and stuff.
Turning to Madison, do you spend much time on State Street?
Not a lot. I go there once in a while because I think it's fun.
What about Memorial Union?
I don't go there a lot because my impression of Memorial Union is that it's where a lot of the older students hang out, and so I feel a little bit intimidated when I go there, almost like I don't fit in yet, but I will someday. And so I can, but like once in a while we go to and listen to the bands with my friend, like on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, and that's a really good time. I really like doing that. And
what about the Terrace?
The Terrace is great. I went there for my first time a couple weeks ago, and it was really nice, and I felt like I was on vacation. I could sit there, and I was just people watching. And swear I wasn't at school. And, you know, the lake is there, and there's sailboats on the lake, which is just a great scene. And the bands that play, and just the different people, the diversity of people.
Do you feel that, you said that you don't go to the Union because it's sort of like an older place.
Yeah.
Is there a place that you go that is sort of for where you are right now besides the dorms?
I can't think of anything. Where do I go? No, I mean, people, you know, everyone can go to the Union and they should feel comfortable there, but it's just, they don't know.
Well,
I could go there.
I'm not making a judgment. I'm just trying to figure out if there's any other place you might go to instead that sort of serves that function for you. Gordon Pound or Papa Joe's.
Oh, Pop's Club.
That seems to be the line.
No, but.
Any other place.
No. Maybe I'm blanking out right now, but I'm not thinking of anything. But, one thing I was just going to say is, I was going to talk about Union South, which they're totally different. They're both unions, both student unions, but Union South seems to be, I don't spend much time over there. I spend more time at Memorial than I do South, just because, well, South is farther away. And it seems more conservative, and people don't go there to hang out as much. I mean, people hang at Memorial Union. And I don't know, Union South is just completely different.
Well, you look at what the buildings are surrounding it, too. There are a lot of engineering buildings.
Yeah.
And that just tends to change somewhat the climate
of the place. Yeah, I agree.
Personalities on campus. Mary Rouse, Dean Rouse. Do you have anything to say about her at all?
No. I've never had any contact with her, and I don't know. I don't really have an opinion about her even.
What about the chancellor?
Well, I guess I know a little bit more about her than the dean of students, but I don't have contact with her. I don't imagine. I don't know. Maybe students do, but I don't have any contact with her. But I. She seems to get a lot of static from people, and I'm not exactly sure why yet, because I haven't been around her that much, and I don't know a lot of things she does or why she does them, but people say that, I can't really tell if the overall impression is that they're pleased with her or if they're not pleased with her.
Maybe it'd be somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think there's different people. I don't know. I don't have an opinion yet. I'm afraid.
Okay, we're almost through here. We haven't really talked about where your education is headed at this point.
I think it's better off not to mention.
This is a very difficult question. It's a question that each of us, you know, have to ask ourselves about every year of our life. And you just finished one of the most exciting years of your life. Amy just finished her last exam.
Yay! At 10 o'clock!
And it's now 11:45, and we're about ready to break for lunch here. But I want to talk to you, where do you see yourself and your education heading at this point?
I see myself possibly, well, I have a plan. I think I'm going to graduate with a degree in about 3 years, maybe a little under 3 years. I'd like to go to Spain somewhere in between that time before I graduate and study abroad, because I'm taking Spanish now and I really like that experience. So that's one thing I'm thinking of. As far as careers go, I don't have anything in mind yet, and I don't see where I'm going to be in, you know, at all yet.
You don't have any idea? If you had called into counseling guidance or whatever today, and you had to declare a major, they said, "Okay, I'm sorry, you cannot leave this room until you declare a major."
You're not going to make me leave this interview until I tell.
I'm not going to let you leave this interview until you declare. No, I just want to see where your thinking's at. I don't want to pin you down.
Yeah.
I just want to see.
Okay.
And if there really isn't anything, then there isn't. But if you had to declare one now, what would you declare?
Well, okay, I did come in to Madison, you know, out of high school with, okay, they make you, well, they don't make you, but they say, you know, write down your major here, what you're interested in or intended studies are going to be. And I put down for that, I put down communications and like journalism or something like that. And so that was my first interest. And I don't know, maybe I've kind of faded away from that. I'm not as interested in it as I was last year.
Did you write for the high school paper?
I wrote for the yearbook, very minimally though, just not much at all. Nothing to build, you know, credit or experience. And I've never really had any experience. It was just kind of, I don't know, something I'm interested in, like writing and or something, maybe. But then I don't know. I've come up with some days I, you know, have a new profession every day that I'm going to be a marine biologist last week. I don't take any science. I never, that was a complete whim. But I don't even, I don't know. Maybe I'll be a professional, maybe I won't. But I'll graduate, I'll have my degree, I'll possibly go on to graduate school. I don't know.
Were you going to be a
perpetual student? I don't know. No.
Well, on that rather vague note.
I think that about sums up in a nutshell this whole interview.
No, I think that's a perfectly honest place to be right now.
Okay, I feel like I'm in a particular breed of students that just doesn't know.
there's a whole lot of them out there.
Yeah.
This is Barry Tyker from the Oral History Project. I would like to thank Ms. Kittleston for her time today.
And thank you, Doctor.
I hope that this is something we can come back to, at least in her senior year, and have a look at her thoughts and attitudes have evolved throughout the course of her college career. That's it, and